We have a theater opening. That's at Ignite Community Theater, and it's opening this this Friday, running Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for 3 weekends. A play by George Tricker called Life Support. And it's a two-person play. We're going to find out a lot about that. And let's begin, as we always do, with the person who holds the responsibility of the play in her hands, Kathy Bowers. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
And first, let's find out about you. You say you didn't move here all that long ago. Talk about coming to Spokane.
Well, I was born in Spokane and went to through school and was raised in the Pacific Northwest. But in 1975... one of my brothers was living in Hawaii, and I went for a 10-day vacation and stayed 41 years.
Good days.
So, yeah. And I, my undergraduate degree is theater education.
Nice.
So I've been involved with school-level theater for all of that time.
So and, you found a theater then to get involved with when you came back.
Right. I was involved in Hawaii, in Honolulu, with a group called TAG, the Actors Group, and that's where I got started in community theater. And I was fortunate enough to direct a couple of plays with that theater as well as be in a few. And when I came back to Spokane, I thought I would look for a little theater like the one I was involved in and just hit the jackpot with Ignite.
Which is a sweet little theater. And we should say physically it's 10-something of East Broadway. It's Broadway between...
Between University and Bowdish.
Bowdish, a former church that has been converted nicely into a great theater space. But let's deal with the play in question, which is the play Life Support. Well titled already, isn't it? Kind of with the double plot going on?
Yes, definitely. It's interesting. The first play I directed in Hawaii was a two-person play. And so here I am directing another two-person play. It's a huge line load for the actors.
Of course, yeah. No
so
rest.
It's really important that you cast top quality people. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky to get top quality people to audition, and we have the cast that we do. Mm-hmm. The play is. It's a very serious topic. It's people being in critical care, on the edge of death, and their loved ones, how they are dealing with that.
And we have the two loved ones in the waiting room.
Right. Yeah. And when I read the play, I thought, it's well written. It's tight. There's not a lot of superfluous stuff in it, and it's very funny, in dealing with this very serious topic. Mm. So it's been a lot of fun to direct this play.
Well, as with any good play, you need the tension, and the tension is in the backgrounds of the two people.
Yes.
Involved. So let's meet each one of them. Why don't you introduce the character of Carol, and then we'll ask Pat Marvel to say if she agrees with how you just got defined.
Okay. Well, when Pat auditioned, I knew she's who I wanted to play. And just after the day after she auditioned, I got a message from Nisha that she had withdrawn. She wasn't going to play the part. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my goodness. Well, the next night I met Tom. Mm-hmm. He auditioned. Well, and I had to go back and kind of find out just exactly why it is that Pat didn't want to be considered. So I'm going to let Pat take it from there.
Okay, Pat, that had to be talked into this. At first, good morning, Pat Marvel.
Good morning.
In the role as Carol.
Thank you. Gee, it seems so long ago now. I'm not sure I actually remember. I think a lot of it was fear, really. It's a lot of responsibility. It is a lot of lines. It's been a long time since I've had a role like this. And I just wasn't really sure that I could commit to something like this, and could I pull it off? But I did talk to Kathy, and it's such a wonderful part that I couldn't turn it down. So I gratefully accepted it.
Well, good. Let's talk about Carol. Who is Carol, and what are her characteristics?
Well, Carol is someone that I think everybody knows. She's someone who's made something of herself. She's very put together. She's very organized. She's under control. Her life works like clockwork. And what I find very interesting about her is as the play develops, we see the cracks in Carol, and we find her weak spots, and we see her vulnerabilities. And I just loved going through that process of finding that, and I'm really excited about sharing that with the audience and taking them on this journey.
It's the whole reason one is an actor, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When you can see the next level.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Pat Marvel as Carol, the very organized person. We've known people like that. Have we known people like Alan? It's back to you, to Kathy, to bring us into that actor and that character.
Okay. Well, Tom auditioned the second night of auditions, and it was. I only had one other man actually try out for the play, and he was 26, and this person had to be, you know, 50s, something like that. And he's awesome. He's just awesome.
So he didn't get it by default?
No, not at all. I mean, I would have kept looking if I hadn't found anybody. And we've done that more than once, keep looking until we found the right actor. But he just fell in my lap, and I was so grateful.
I would have been okay with the default thing.
Bro. Okay. So Tom Sanderson as Alan. So Alan, what kind of guy is he?
Alan is not a far stretch from myself, so it was it was relatively easy in that sense. He's just your typical guy. He's got some layers to him that maybe people aren't aware of because of his exterior. But he's a good man deep down, and at this point in his life, he's probably just, you know, sitting back and looking at all those decisions he made that put him in the position he's in.
And then when Alan and Carol meet, I assume that we're immediately aware of the differences between them. You want
to
each come in on that?
I think I went out my way to do that. Yes, we. It's. You know, it's ironic because I think a lot of the characters that we portray on stage would do us very well in a coffee shop if we didn't know each other. I think it would be the same sort of dynamic of who's this person? Who's that person? Can I have fun with them or should I avoid them?
And initially, I gather, the two of you are stuck together no matter what.
No choice, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what about you, Pat, about the same subject?
Well, you know, I think we're two people whose paths would never have crossed. Certainly, you know, socially, professionally, we're in completely different circles. And the fact that we're thrown into this situation, and it gives us the opportunity to talk to each other and to get to know each other a little bit and to challenge each other's values and points of view. That's been a lot of fun to develop that.
Challenge
with
we do.
Well, then there's any time we meet somebody, one can either talk about the weather and do small talk or whatever. But obviously, two people in a waiting room with a loved one over on the other side of the medical establishment, that's a different story. I think with that in mind, suffice it to say that as you're waiting, you're getting some news of the changing situation within the operating rooms, or
and sharing that news with each other.
Well, with that, let's hear a sequence from this play. This is from the play Life Support. It opens at Ignite Theater on Friday, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2, and for the following two weekends.
So how's John?
Not so good. He's still in a coma. And now they've got him connected to a life support system.
That's too bad, Carol.
Yes, it is too bad. But I'm sure it's just a temporary setback.
I didn't know if you had a chance to eat, so I brought you a donut.
That's very thoughtful of you, Alan, but no thank you. Too much fat. Besides, I had something to eat when I made breakfast for the kids this morning.
You cooked? I thought it was illegal these days for women to cook.
I know. But I wanted them to be in familiar surroundings when I told them about, you know.
As a matter of fact, I do know. That couldn't have been a fun meal.
No, it wasn't.
How did they handle it?
Better than I expected. I was pleasantly surprised. They were constantly trying to calm me with nervous reassurances. I'm still not sure if they were trying to comfort me or themselves.
My money would go on. A little of both.
You're probably right. I'm sure none of us planned on this happening.
This whole hospital is filled with people who didn't plan on this happening.
It's been kind of overwhelming, actually. It happened so fast. One minute everything was fine, and the next... Oh, God, what arrogance it is to take life for granted.
Hey, you're still in the ballpark. At least John is alive.
If you can call being hooked up to all those machines being alive. He's got tubes and wires going into every orifice on his body. It looks more like he's being tortured. The machines were keeping him alive, and all I could do was watch.
Being a devout watcher myself, sometimes that's all you can do.
I guess. But I'm used to doing more. When I went to see him, I actually thought that hearing my voice would make him rise from his coma and we'd walk out hand in hand.
Unless his middle name is Lazarus, you're being a tad optimistic.
Obviously I was. He never even opened his eyes. He didn't utter a sound. It was like he was already dead. The only noise was the machines. They keep going and going. I shouldn't be burdening you with my problems. You've got more than enough of your own. How's Patricia?
A scene from the play that we're talking about, Life Support, which is at Ignite Theater. That was Pat Marvel as Carol and Tom Sanderson as Alan. So, Director Kathy Bowers, I'm going to let you kind of take the lead here on how much spoiler alert we do or don't get into, because things change. And so first let's talk about, among all three of us, how much, what changes within the news from the two spouses that are in the hospital, from Carol's husband or Alan's wife?
Well, in the case of Carol's husband, neither one of them think that there's anything seriously wrong. They're checking to be sure. Mm-hmm. And so the change in his condition is a big shock to her. In Alan's case, he knows there's something seriously wrong, but doesn't know for sure what it is. And so it evolves from the two of them just kind of comparing notes to really on a gut level, sharing about what's going on.
And then talk, as you you two actors playing this, as you deal with sharing those deep things about your loved ones, how does that alter the way you're relating to each other? I mean, are you reconciling the differences between you?
Well, I think some of people's nature comes out in those situations, and then the hard exteriors or the defensive exteriors are stripped away, and you're just people that are dealing on different levels of emotions and rawness. And at that point, you're forced to deal with each other differently because you're not the same person.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to make decisions about who you are, internal decisions.
Yes, and without giving anything away, not only decisions about who we are, but decisions about who we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's an entire scene that deals intensely with decision making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that sounds like this, who we want to be. That the probably as far as we should take that plot line on this play of Life Support, opening Friday night, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2 at Ignite Community Theater. Let's find out a bit about each of you as actors. So, Pat, you talked about having acted a while ago and then the trepidation of whether or not to take on a line load in a, mm-hmm. in a play. Talk about your thespian past and present.
Well, I studied drama in college, and I was very active in theater for a number of years.
Around here?
No, mm-hmm. in Seattle. And I went to New York for a little while and, you know, waited tables like so many other actors do. And then I just got distracted by the corporate world and wasn't really able to be involved in theater. Mm. So I moved to Spokane a couple of years ago. And I feel very fortunate that the Ignite family has been very welcoming to me. And I'm just really enjoying getting my feet wet again.
Nice. And you, Tom Sanderson?
Well, this is going to be a much shorter conversation.
We'll stretch it out.
My acting career began sometime around my midlife crisis, basically. I've never stepped on the stage until about 5 years ago, maybe six or so.
Well, what was that like? Well, talk about 5 years ago. What made you step on stage, and what was it like to do that?
Well, what made me do it was literally a full-life crisis.
Okay.
I had just gotten out of a marriage, and I was running a business, and my life was kind of going in all sorts of different directions, mostly in the downward direction. And I heard a commercial for the Odd Couple being put on up in Sandpoint. And I was like, oh, I grew up in New York. I know all about the Odd Couple. So on a whim, I drove up there and auditioned and played Murray the Cop for a couple of weekends up there, and everyone was mad at me because I was the only one with the New York accent on stage. they thought I was acting, but and I've just kind of been bit since. I've been doing little things here and there and whatnot.
Yeah. So does it? Are you a natural, or have you had to learn it? That's the crass way to ask the question.
No, that's actually a really good question because that comes up every time, every show, and I'm not going to say I'm a natural. Any more than the fact that I grew up watching way too much television, and I could emulate stuff pretty good. So that's pretty much what I do. As far as learning, I think a lot of people would say, especially Kathy, is that I just don't like to learn a whole bunch of stuff. So, I mean, I'll listen to you and I'll take it into consideration, but I'm pretty much going to, I don't know.
Well, but that sounds like that then the acting you do comes out of your insides, out of your conviction of what that character should be doing.
Honestly, not to get sappy, the fact that I came into the whole acting realm in an emotional state, I think that really helped me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it means something.
And I'd like to interject here. Tom is definitely a natural. He has fabulous instincts. It's just been a real, real pleasure for me to act with him.
Yeah. And so now talk back to the director, Kathy. How do you corral two such different people, let alone two such different characters?
Well, my style of directing, as a teacher, I had to be in control of the whole thing.
Oh, that answers the whole question,
yeah.
But keep going.
But dealing with people that are experienced, my style is very collegial.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I will say to them, just do whatever feels right and we'll see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have incredible instincts about what they should be doing. We collaborate on the blocking. There are times when I've had to say, no, it's got to be this way, because there's a blocking reason. You have to be here for the next thing that happens.
Sure.
But for the most part, it is, one of them will say, what if we did this? It's usually Tom that says that. what if we do this? I said, let's try it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, nope, that's not going to work. And other times it's, oh, yes, perfect.
Right.
So I don't feel like I'm the, quote, director. I'm the facilitator.
She did give me a timeout once,
though. I did, yes.
Well, it sounds like a really lovely experience, not only that you three have had, but for the audience to enjoy it as it opens on Friday.
I think I have great hopes that it will satisfy the audience.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you. And really nice to meet each of you, Pat.
Thank you so much.
And Tom.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yeah. And Kathy. So that is opening Friday, Life Support, Ignite Theater, Friday night, Saturday night, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then the following two weekends.